Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, my name is Annie Fry, and you might be hearing this because you subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast, the podcast that generally has clips from my weekday radio show in St. Louis. But as of late, I've been trying to upload Saturday morning reflections on scripture that I'm reading, and to do it as a way to reflect on my faith, but also how I rely on my faith as somebody who has to talk about news and politics and elections and candidates and everything throughout the course of the week. Because I know a lot of you, when I meet so many of you, you talk about your, one of the favorite things you like about our show is how myself, but also Brad and Ryan, how we're willing to share our faith. So I thank you for being here. And what I wanted to talk about today briefly is evil. And this is something that for some ignorant, stupid, broken, sinfulness, human reason, I always have to, it's like the last conclusion I come to, but it should be the first, is that evil is in existence all around us all of the time. That evil is real, it's active, it's moving. And, you know, I kind of think of that in, I don't know why it takes me so long to remember, like, oh, obviously. Evil, of course. We're quick to lean into our faith, which is a very good thing, but sometimes it becomes this kind of saccharine version of our faith where it's like, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, you know, for the Bible tells me so. It's all great. We learned it when we were in grade school. But I think that honestly, sometimes the way that I see faith in and miracles in action the most is in the midst of really, really impetuous evil. I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start with Ephesians 4, 17, and the English Standard Version titles this subject, or this section, as The New Life. Starting at verse 17, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now I'm going to read a little bit further here in Ephesians 4 in just a minute, but one of my favorite verses is coming up here, and it's when I looked at the broader text of this verse that I really professionally try to apply to myself. I was also coming into this reflection. This is just to me how Bible study tends to work. Coming into this reflection to remind you what I have to so frequently remind myself: why do bad things happen? How are these people so around me, so depraved? And I'm looking around and I'm seeing all of this sinfulness and brokenness everywhere surrounding me. I have to remind myself that I too am completely and totally sinful, completely and totally broken, but also living in this new life that Christ has graced me with, that Christ has provided for me through his mercy. But the reason why, when you look around yourself, things seem so foreign and so it's so hard to understand them, is because when Christ is your life, when you are in Christ, those things should look foreign to you. They should look depraved to you. They should look repulsive to you. And I think it's a reflection internally of the sanctity and the strength and the power of Christ, how when you are in Christ, those things that appall Christ, they will appall you. But I do think it's very important to remember that there is this old self. There is that is talked about in Ephesians 4:22, that there is this version of you that came before Christ that was completely broken. In my Lutheran education growing up, we always knew that to be the old Adam. I know that's not a Lutheran thing, but if you maybe didn't have a parochial education, you might not have learned about the old Adam. Being born into sin, requiring the redemption of a perfect Savior in Jesus, we are no longer a part of that evil that exists in the world, because we are apart from that. We are in Christ. And we can now live in the likeness of God. We can have true righteousness and holiness, and it's only through Christ that we have it. I think that that's where I find myself viewing. I mean, I'm not going to go into the specifics of the news stories that are out there right now, but oh my goodness, the evil that is in the world is on the prowl, and it seems to be agitated. It seems to be angry. And I think that we need to, as Christians, stay very diligent to the reality that that evil is ever present and ever active. And it wants you. It wants me. And it's important for us to remember that we are Christ's. We are redeemed. We do get to live in Christ's righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:25 goes on to say, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And this is the verse that I was telling you that is something that I professionally, as somebody who talks for 15 hours a week on the radio about things that are not of a religious nature, that's not the precedent that I go on the air with. And, you know, sometimes we get into it, and I have a very secular news talk show about politics and culture and whatever we end up talking about. This is a very important verse to me, and I hold it near and dear to me. It's Ephesians 4:29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Ephesians 4:30 goes on to say, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Think about that. Sealed for the day of redemption. I mean, to me, that's like the ultimate scoreboard call. Like, I'm his. We win. I win because he won, and he won us over, and we are his, and we are, as Ephesians 4:30 says, sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31 goes on to say, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And it finishes up by saying, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." To wrap this reflection up for this Saturday, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted and forgiving. A lot of times when I hear those words, I think of all the people that are on the other side of my forced kindness or my forced tenderheartedness, my forced forgiveness. And I think, oh man, how good am I to really be mustering up the energy to forgive you for the big thing you did to me? And then I quickly finish that sentence in Ephesians 4:32. And the way it ends is, "as God in Christ forgave you." And then I shut my mouth. And then I ask for forgiveness for my haughtiness. And, you know, a phrase that I remind my children of quite regularly, and it's a very important one to my life: be humble or be humbled. Scripture will humble you, but it also reminds you of your redemption. It also reminds you that you are sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what? You are his. He loves you. There's nothing that you have done in your old self that cannot be redeemed in Christ, in your new self. And if you need to reflect on that, I encourage you to check out Ephesians 4:17-32. Thanks for listening.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.